Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we're officially on the other side of week one after months and months of anticipation, wondering what this team would look like. We saw them out in Brazil against the Eagles last night. And unfortunately, the Packers didn't get it done, didn't get the win, but we are going to talk about all of it. So Perry, let's just start with the elephant in the room and get the news out of the way. Jordan Love, ACL intact, seems to be an MCL sprain. Still waiting on the severity of that to see what that looks like. But doesn't seem to be anything too long-term. The rough estimates from the internet make it seem like 2 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't do Twitter doctor. not a thing. I guess it's, you know, because I actually work at a hospital. Not into that. So, best case scenario, given what we saw on the field, he looked like he was in an immense amount of pain, had to wait 10 hours for him to get back to the U.S. to have a final timetable. I actually just got a Tom Pelissero breaking news as we're recording this. Jordan Love's initial timetable for return is the 3 to 6 week range per sources. Some optimism he could return sooner than later, pending a second opinion. So the next three opponents that he will most likely miss, which makes sense given an MCL sprain: Colts at home, Titans away, Vikings at home. Okay. This is, like I just said, probably best case scenario given what we saw. Amazing that everything is intact. It was just really hard to see it happen with 5 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Just like have everyone almost make it out of there healthy, especially with the way the field conditions were all game. That was really hard to watch, everyone slipping and sliding. Both sides, both teams, Eagles included in this as well, obviously. And then for him to go down with literally 5 seconds on the clock, just brutal. 10 hours on the plane, probably the worst 10 hours of his life, not knowing like what the fate of his season was going to be. But MCL sprain, I've actually had one before. They're really painful. They probably feel worse than they actually are. And 3 to 6 weeks feels about right. And given the way athletes' bodies are, and the type of care that he can get, high-end care, getting him back within 3 weeks would be totally reasonable and awesome. So the Packers just need to try to win a game or two without him.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, we'll get into the finer details of the game, but we had said we expect it to be a slog. We expect there to be points scored. Like, these are two really prolific offenses, really talented units here. And that kind of just, you know, was what we saw. It was a shootout. The defenses needed to kind of settle down. You mentioned that the field conditions, guys were slipping. I was talking to the people I was watching the game with about how frustrating it had to be for everyone involved to just, there were some missed tackles, obviously, that is something that the Packers will need to clean up. But some of that was just, you know, the field itself. And we saw the change when they switched out the cleats going into the second half. But yeah, just a lot of week one football, I think, is kind of what this boils down to. A lot of easy mistakes that are fixable. Andy Herman put out a list of 37 things on Twitter that could have been fixed, and the Packers still lost by one score. You know, so a lot of self-inflicted wounds, and we'll dive into what that looks like, but very winnable game. Unfortunate anytime you have a winnable game that you don't win, especially now that Jordan's going to be out for a little bit of time, but still a lot to be excited about going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think to put a bow on, to put a bow on Jordan before I respond to some great points you just made, I'm just glad that he's made it. We have the answers now, because I think the waiting part is the worst, and that he's back at Lambeau and can get the care from Doc and the rest of the staff. And now we can move forward and game plan. We'll be getting Malik Willis for at least 3 weeks. So that'll be interesting to talk about. But to your other overall thoughts on the game, you did see a noticeable difference when I'm sure they switched their cleats second half. I mean, especially in the run game picked up from both sides of the ball. But to me, a game where the Packers beat themselves, which is what this really was, miscues on offense, dropped passes, you know, just being slightly off from one another, from not playing together. Probably a symptom also of the starters not playing at all in preseason, which is like a bit of that give and take that you get when you don't play your starters in preseason. It's really frustrating to watch in the moment because, like you said, this was an absolutely winnable game. They still only lost by one score. However, when you take a step back from it, and we've slept on it because we're recording this on Saturday, you also can come away from this game and say, okay, well, they're going to learn from this. They're not going to hopefully repeat these mistakes again, and they won't look like this in week two, three, et cetera, and they will be better. We saw a lot of glimpses of this like very high powered, high flying offense that they can be. And I'm sure we will make note of those here in the show. So it's frustrating because you're like, just get the ball and stop with the, you know, stupid penalties and all those things. But it's not poison in the well. It's something that I don't expect to be repeated. And therefore, this kind of game, if they had it again next week or in 4 weeks or in 8 weeks, I fully expect them to win. And as my last point, they still put up almost 30 in a game where they didn't play nearly their best football. So they still played this. If this is not their best ball and they're still putting up high numbers on a very good football team. The Eagles are a very good football team to start the season. I feel okay about the way things are going to go.
Yeah. And I mean, I think not to compare the two sides, but nobody watched the Chiefs and Ravens game and said, oh, that's it for the Ravens. You know, like, do you expect that to be a playoff matchup? And as I was watching this game, I was like, wow, this is going to be really fun again in January. Like, that's just how it felt. Mm-hmm. And now that we got the Jordan Love news that we did, it very well could be a matchup that we see probably in Philly. It's just the way that we would expect things to shake out. But yeah, another really good matchup. So let's talk about some of the more intricate details of this one, right? Because there was a lot, like you said, to clean up, a lot of things that were self-inflicted by the Packers. But we don't want to talk about just the negatives. So we're also going to talk about some of the positives here. Jaden Reed, for starters, deserves all of the flowers for his game this week. 4 receptions for 138 yards, long of 70, and 1 touchdown. Just fantastic for him. Xavier McKinney snags the first interception of the season for the Packers as their free agent addition on the defensive side of the ball. Javon Bullard ties for the team lead in tackles as their first defensive pick in the draft. Just arrows pointing up for a lot of guys that we're really excited about.
Yes, 100%. Jaden Reed also had a rushing touchdown.
Absolutely.
They love using him that way. We saw flashes from Christian Watson. We saw flashes from Romeo Doubs. We saw a ton of Tucker Kraft. This team has the pieces. It's, you said it already, it's week one. They're putting it together. They're figuring themselves out. They're finding their rhythm. Josh Jacobs had a bit of a tougher start to the game, but found his rhythm towards the second half. I thought the offensive line started opening up some holes for him for sure in the third and fourth quarter. It was really fun to watch him hit those and find his stride. So a lot to be excited about moving forward. I love the Emmanuel Wilson running back two experiment. He's so fun. He's so fun. And not just in the running game, but he hit some awesome blocks. So they're obviously trusting him in some really big moments as well. So that rotation, that running back rotation, we now, you know, we've come to know and love from Matt LaFleur. Like, these are our two guys now. I think that this game, we'd be talking about it very differently if they had converted their two turnovers in the first quarter into touchdowns, right? And like I said earlier, the mistakes that they made, I don't think they're going to repeat those in future games. If they get two turnovers, you mentioned the Xavier McKinney interception already. They had a forced fumble recovery as well. Those turn into 7 instead of 3. this game looks very differently. And like, you can go down the rabbit hole of the butterfly effect, but that is what we expect from this offense moving forward. It's just a bit of growing pains right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think these are some of the things that we talked about too, when it came to what were we expecting to see week one. We joked about Braden Arvidsson and what it was going to look like when he was out on the field in big moments. And obviously he looked pretty good. His kicks were dead center right through the uprights. And then he had the one miss that doinked the upright. And that's the difference between going for a field goal and a touchdown at the end of the game. You know, like, these are things that we said, young roster, once again, growing pains, and you don't expect those things to continue to creep up. And I will say, I was impressed by Narvison in his debut. I know he had the doink, but some of the misses we were seeing in camp and in the preseason, to have a missed as a doink, I was like, okay, that's pretty comforting that it at least like hit the upright and wasn't just sailing 20 yards to the left or right. But yeah, I mean, I think that there were a lot of positives when you look at like the stat sheet, and of course it still goes down as a loss, but we talked about it pre-show. I mean, holding Saquon Barkley to 109 yards on the ground is a pretty good day for the Packers defense. Had the long of 34. Obviously that was not a good one for the Packers defense, but if you subtract that, 75 yards on the ground, like that's manageable. Mm-hmm. They held Jalen Hurts 33 yards. You know, we saw, they talked about it in the broadcast that he had his like career record of rushing yards against the Packers last time they played. So baby steps, right? But things that we were saying, like, this could open up the game. It could get ugly really fast if this Eagles offense is able to open up against the Packers defense. And they never really were able to do that.
And I will say too, to your point, the 33 yards from Jalen Hurts was on 13 attempts. So he was not getting yards.
Right, right.
Either. They were doing a great job containing him. The Eagles are a very good offense, and they got theirs. A.J. Brown got his against Jair Alexander, right? He did. So did Devonta Smith. So did Saquon Barkley. But they were very good players, and you expected them to. The Packers created 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
3. Jair Alexander also had his turnover, which – I mean, I just jaw, like, take a knee, man. I don't know. Just like, I understand at that point you're like trying to make something happen because you're down, but just take a knee. The offense has to convert those to 7. And if they do, again, I think we're talking about a Packers win right now because they only lost by 1 score. You just have to convert one of those to 7, quite frankly. So you see the way this team is going to play moving forward, and you feel confident that this is a team that's going to win games this season. They just were on the wrong side of a few bad calls, a few bad drops, and probably a bad, you know, red zone run call. Matt, stop doing that. And this game looks very differently to me.
And I mean, I think, you know, I don't necessarily think anyone's hitting the panic button for Green Bay. I hope that they're not, as far as the fans. Right. I mean, I genuinely hope that nobody is. But it's not like the Eagles played a very clean game either. If you look at, you know, third down efficiency, the Packers were 27% on third downs. The Eagles were 28%. So it was like it kind of felt like it ebbed and flowed, like both offenses found their rhythm. Then both defenses found their rhythm. Then we saw a couple punts, and it was a very sloppy game for two teams that didn't play their starters in the preseason. A lot of growing pains. And I think had this one flipped and the Packers won this one, Eagles, you know, outlets would be saying the same thing, like, not a cause for concern, plenty to clean up. If a couple things bounce our way, we win this one. You know, so I don't think that the outcome is really that shocking. And I know we both picked the Packers to win, but a couple things change and they do. So certainly not anything, of course, not to dismiss the issues. There's plenty to clean up here as well, but nothing that made me go, oh boy, that's going to be a long-term concern, except for Jordan Love, which now hopefully is not a long-term concern.
Yeah. And we said too on our preview show, like, wouldn't be surprised if it flipped the other way either. This is going to be a close one. They're a very evenly matched team. And they were. Packers had 251 pass yards. The Eagles had 266. The Packers had 163 rush yards. The Eagles had 144, right? This was a very evenly matched team against a pretty evenly like matched opponent. And one team capitalized on their turnover into seven. I really think that's like what it comes down to. The more I think about it, one team turned their turnover into a touchdown and one team didn't. And that's it. And it really did feel like it's going to come down to the team that has the ball last. And unfortunately the team that had the ball last, their quarterback got hurt at the end of the game, and we'll never know what would have happened. I want to hear your thoughts on what we saw for the first time in Jeff Hafley's defense, because we finally got like a non-vanilla, non-preseason Jeff Hafley defense, and they had some amazing things. We've already talked about the turnovers, but we had some not great moments, and I think that was to be expected. But overall thoughts?
I think the impression that I got was really that I want to see them next week at Lambeau. Because I think the slipping and sliding made it so much harder to get a good assessment of, like, would they have made some of those tackles if their feet were, you know, more sure in the ground? And like the Jalen Reed trucking over Eric Stokes, I'm not sure he makes that tackle at Lambeau, but still, like, some of those momentum shifting moments where you're slipping and you don't have good traction, some of the angles that players took, like, I think the outcome is probably a little bit different, and we see like cleaner tackling, cleaner rallying to the ball, maybe a couple tips instead of, you know, errant throws when guys have their footing. But overall, I mean, I think you said it really well when we were kind of talking pre-show about this, was that this is what we would expect from Jeff Hafley. And he didn't do anything exotic or crazy in this game, but saw a lot more man, kind of left his guys on their islands to do what they needed to do, and to short, like, he just put John AJ Brown and said, go do it. Yeah. And it worked some of the time, and some of the time it didn't, but that's what we wanted to see from Joe Barry. So by that same token, like, you're going to get big plays against you when you do those things, because no defense is going to be perfect, but you're also going to have turnovers. And I thought that the front played really well. Rashawn Gary is a man possessed, a man on a mission. He somehow didn't even make it into our best players of the game category, because it's just what we expect from him week after week. But yeah, I thought it was really fun to see, like, Edge Cooper. I thought he looked really good opposite Quay Walker. I thought Isaiah McDuffie had a really nice game. So I liked seeing attacking inside linebackers.
Yeah, I thought McDuffie had a good game, except just, like, maybe don't put him on Saquon Barkley in the end zone.
Asterisk. Don't do that.
Don't do that. I'm with you. We talked about this pre-show, and we'll just reiterate, like, we want a more aggressive style defense, and a more aggressive style defense comes with some of these really exciting plays, the turnovers, the sacks. But they also come with the potential for the other team to make bigger plays. And that's just what this defense is. And there's a sacrifice. If one defense was perfect, everyone would play it, right? There is a give and take and a push and pull. Hopefully, as your players get acclimated or your opponent differs, there's more of one thing, less of another. You hope Jair has a better game against another opponent, but he also went up again, like, against one of the best receivers in the league right now, and a guy who has, I mean, body size beyond against him. He did okay. AJ Brown got his, he was going to. Jair got his also. I liked the way this team played overall. I thought the playmakers did what they were supposed to. And we didn't always see that in years past, in defenses past. Like, playmakers didn't have the opportunities to step up and make plays. So that was really great. The young guys, I think, are going to have major opportunities. You mentioned Edge Cooper. You mentioned Javon Bullard early. I thought Javon Bullard had an amazing game. I mean, he was everywhere. I also want to shout out Kenny Clark.
Yep.
Kenny looked great. I think he's going to thrive in this. They did a pretty heavy D-line rotation. Mm-hmm. So him, Smith, Slayton, Wooden, all rotating. Which is interesting. I'd be curious to see if they continue that, or if they start to even out the snap count at some point, if that's like an early, like, week one thing, or if that's going to be, forever. I thought Quay looked way better. They had Quay in coverage at one point, and he was holding his own, which is not something we've seen in years past. So individually, each player had great moments. Collectively, obviously, the Eagles scored points. They ended up winning. I think it's going to come together nicely. But I was happier than I think a lot of like Packers Twitter was. So curious what other people thought. If you want to like put your thoughts in the comments, just be nice. We're here for intellectual conversation. And you said it earlier, but just worth repeating, you know, holding Saquon Barkley to around 100 yards for a game is no small feat.
Even with his trio of touchdowns that came with that.
Yeah, don't love those. I think the red zone defense is probably where they need to clamp down.
But yes.
That is the weak point for sure. Because as soon as the Eagles were getting into the red zone, it was almost automatic. And that's not good. You got to get better. You got to be at least holding those to three if the opposing team is getting into the 20. So,
yeah, that's I think where my like final thought would have been from this game. I think we touched on players that we really were impressed by. There's certainly some players that need to clean things up. Dontavian Wicks had a couple unfortunate drops. So I think just in general, catching the ball, we would like to see better hands. Luke Musgrave, we kind of mentioned that a little bit. Tucker Kraft taking a ton more snaps, really lopsided between the two of them. So I don't know if that will continue or not, but certainly seems to kind of be laying claim to the tight end one spot right now. If there's going to be one on the field, it seems like the Packers have a little bit more comfort with Tucker Kraft being out there. But yeah, I think my final takeaway from this was just the red zone operations on both sides of the ball, right? Yeah. If the Packers convert any of those field goals, we already mentioned it, to touchdowns, that changes the game. If the defense holds on some touchdowns and gives up field goals instead. And like the jaw turnover was excellent, maybe a weird decision to try to take it out, but there were moments to be really excited about. But red zone, both sides, has to be cleaned up. I even thought like third down defense was fine. You know, that it's not like the Eagles were converting a ton. The tush push is just obnoxious, right? Like that one is tough to defend regardless, but overall, situationally compared to what we saw from, you know, this team last year, there's a lot of optimism, but certainly lots of areas to improve as well.
Yep, I agree. Quick update as we're recording, just since we're here and we're live, our mics are hot. Ian Rappaport did just announce that Jordan Love has between a grade 1 and a grade 2 MCL sprain, which means that it is probably going to be just corroborating more close to the 3 to 4 week range. So this is good news. We continue to get Packers fans good news about Jordan Love's injury and availability for the rest of the season. So I hope everyone is breathing a little easier.
Yeah, certainly seemed really, really intense when it was happening. Felt really bad for him. Also felt really bad for Malik Willis having to come in there with 2 seconds left and just like, I don't think anybody wants to hear, just go throw a Hail Mary. Just go throw one. Just certainly didn't end the way we thought it would. I thought he'd at least get the ball out, but we'll see. I mean, and we'll see what happens. I think at least for the Colts game, it's going to be Malik Willis. I don't know if they would make a long-term change to bring anyone in. I would imagine no, since it seems like it's not going to be too severe. And they clearly like Malik Willis enough to trade for him. And bring him into the building to be their backup. So you wouldn't have done that if you didn't think that he could play. So we'll see what Tom Clemens and Matt LaFleur have cooked up for him as we get into the Colts game. But any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up and look ahead to week two?
Just happy to have had football back. Obviously would have preferred a better outcome since the Packers could have brought this one home, and there were a lot of opportunities for them to do so, but there's a lot of football left in this season. And I thought the flashes in this game were enough to show me this team is who I thought this team was going to be this season. And I'm also quite thankful that the next 3 to 4 games are against the next three games are against not too difficult opponents.
Yep. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. We will be back to talk about it. Of course, Colts and Texans play at noon on Sunday. So if whether you're watching on Red Zone or if you're going to get the game, do a little scouting report and see what you think of the Colts and how you think the Packers will fare at their home opener next week at Lambeau Field. But thank you, as always, for listening to the Packs What She Said podcast. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry underscore Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Find us on Spotify and support the show if you love what we're doing. Also on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you find the audio and video format of the podcast. You can check out the video on Spotify as well. But if you're here on YouTube with us, thank you so much. Please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already, because we're going to be here all season. And hopefully we only have a couple more games now without Jordan Love. So we'll be back talking Colts and Packers. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.